Good morning, Element Church. I'm so excited to be here with you guys today, and I'm excited about what God is doing and what he's going to do in this series. And so before we get started, I'd just like to say a few words and just want to say that I'm so thankful for this opportunity to talk today. And just Pastor Scott and Erica, thank you so much for the impact that you've had on me personally and the impact you've had on my family and the impact that I just see coming and have already seen on the community. It's just an honor and a privilege to know you. It's an honor and a privilege to be here today sharing with Element Church. And so I just want to say thank you. A few quick things about myself. My name is Dan Kochenour. And first of all, I'm not a pastor at all. I'm not a public speaker. I come to you today as a business owner. And there was quite a few years as a business owner, you know, and growing up in the church, and I was kind of wandering around saying to myself, well, you know, how do I make an impact? How can I make a difference in the world? And I just do service work, and just this deep desire of wanting to make an impact in, for the kingdom of God and for people. And over a period of years, my business went from an opportunity to just feed my family to an opportunity for God to reach people. And so today I just want to share a few things with you. Hopefully you get a few, tools in your belt and also, you know, some deeply spiritual things about evangelism. So today we're going to talk about evangelism in the workplace. And I realize that some of the things I'm going to be talking about today are kind of unique to my situation. And so evangelism is not a cookie cutter thing. It's kind of fluid. And, you know, it's different in every situation. And so, you know, I realize that not everybody can, you know, do things the way that I may do them. But I do believe that no matter where you're at, no matter where you work, there are opportunities to evangelize. There's opportunities to make a difference. And we want to talk about some of those things today. I heard a story of a guy who he didn't really like his job that much. And he was struggling. It was a difficult situation, difficult work environment. And he prayed to God. He said, God, Lord, you got to get me out of here, Lord. I'm struggling here. And God responded to him, and he said, hey, you're all I got down there. I need you there. I need you in that place. And so just changing our perspective today a little bit on evangelism in the workplace. A verse that God gave to me quite a while back when I was starting on evangelism in the workplace comes from Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. It says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so I just want to focus on the wisdom. We need to use wisdom. When we're talking about, you know, evangelism in the workplace, we need to use wisdom. We're not advocating to stand on a chair with a bullhorn and shout everybody down in work. We're talking about using wisdom today and do things that, you know, can be harmless as doves. And we don't want to hurt our bosses or hurt our businesses. We can evangelize, but we need to do it wisely. We need to do it with wisdom, and we need to not hurt people. So evangelism, what does evangelism mean? And as I was thinking about it, the easiest, most simple way that I could come up with evangelism to describe it, evangelism is God using us to get his family back. And that's really what it's an incredible opportunity is what it is. We get to be a part of what God is doing on the earth. And God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And we get to be a part of God reaching out to hurting people and bring them back to the Father. So we get to be a part of bringing God's family back. So let's dive right into it. And our first point is evangelism is love. And so when we're talking about evangelism, you know, we can talk about training. We can talk about, hey, we should have, you know, a plan. And those things are all great. But we have to make first things be first. We have to receive the love of Christ. We have to know how much God loves us. We have to have that in our spirit, in our soul. They have to see the fire in our eyes for those people. They have to know that we care about them. We can't go just, you know, blabbering a bunch of things. We have to come to them. They have to see the love of God in our eyes. They got to know that we care. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They got to see that in our eyes. And when God's love fills us, when God's love is coming out of us, we will be moved with compassion for people on the inside. Literally, you know, I've been on the, you know, on the, in the job, we're talking about in the workplace. I've been, and I've been moved with compassion for people. And I felt the love in the heart of the Father for that guy over there. And I felt the love and the forgiveness that God wants to give that guy over there. And we can be moved with compassion when we have the heart of the Father on the inside of us. Just like Jesus, when Jesus walked the face of the earth, the Bible said he was moved with compassion and he healed them all. He was moved with compassion and fed the 5,000. When we have received, the first step of evangelism is when we've received the love of Christ on the inside of us. That's when we can begin to understand what evangelism is all about. It has to come from the angle of love. If it comes from any other angle, we're in the wrong. So Billy Graham says, he's one of my favorites, as somebody who loves to evangelize, Billy Graham says, it's God's job to judge. It's not our job. We don't have to judge. We don't have to look at people and say, hey, man, you're messing up and you're doing all these horrible. No, it's God's job to judge. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. And it's our job to love. What a job. What an incredible job. What an incredible opportunity. We don't have to do all the judgment. We don't have to do all the convicting. That's up to God and the Holy Spirit. What our job, the Bible says, owe no man nothing but to love. And we want to love people. It's the love of God that draws men to repentance. And so we need to keep love on the forefront of our minds. The closer we are to the Father, the more we have received his love, the easier it is to love other people. We must come from an angle of love. So, you know, there's a lot of times we'll try to, you know, you hear people or you've heard them on the street, you're walking to a game and they have a bullhorn and they're shouting, you know, shouting people down. And it sounds rough and crude. And we can't come from a religious angle, because what we can actually do is drive people farther away from God. And that's the opposite of what we want to do. So, you know, I heard this great illustration about evangelism, because when I first got started, I used to think that evangelism was taking people, if accepting Christ was a zero, and the farthest away you could be from God, it would be a negative 10, let's say. And I used to look at it like, well, if I don't take them from a negative 10 to a zero, people far from God to them accepting God, that I failed. And that's actually not the truth. The truth is, they can be somewhere on that scale. They can be anywhere from a negative 10 to a negative 5 away from God, a negative 2. And really the win is taking them from a negative 10 to maybe a negative 8 or maybe a negative 6. And so, yes, it's great when we get to harvest and we get to introduce them to Christ, but we can also get them to move on that scale. The Bible says one waters, one sows, one waters, and God gives the increase. And so just to be a part of that, of what God is doing on the earth. So once we've received his love, then we can begin to give his love. Once we get an understanding of how much God really loves us, that he died personally for us, that if I was the only one on the face of the planet, that God still would have sent Jesus to die in my place. Once we get a revelation of that, ministry and evangelism comes from our overflow of that. It just comes bubbling up out of us, and we can't help but be moved with compassion for this guy. We can't help but want to forgive this guy and lead him to the Lord and minister life and love to people. And so we must come from the angle of love. So you're sitting here today and you say, yeah, Dan, I know that stuff. And I've received God's love and I understand that I need to like reach other people with God's love. But like, how do I begin to do that? And I would say that first way to do it is to build a relationship with them. And, you know, over a period of time, you just begin to be, like we said in the beginning, we got to be smart. We have to be wise and we have to use wisdom and not do harm to them, but we just begin to drip God's love to them just slowly and build relationship and let them know that we really care about them as humans. And, I mean, that's the best way to do it. However, if you're in a situation like myself, I do service work, so I have to, you know, move rather quickly sometimes. And I found that, you know, you ever had a really good conversation with somebody? Usually that good conversation is stirred up from great questions. And I think if we develop practically, if we can just develop some questions, some great questions that we can ask. And, you know, growing up in the church, you know, there was a lot of questions. We ask, how do we do that? How do we introduce people to Christ? And so here's one of the ways that I've heard. It says, if you were to die today, Do you know if you go to heaven? That's a classic term, and you can use that. That's a great way to do it. How was your walk with the Lord? I've heard that one, and by hearing their responses to these, you can tell a lot about people and about where they are with God. Probably within the last year, God has moved me to ask people this question, and I just love it. It says, "Do you know how much God loves you, man? You know how much God loves you." And I feel like it's the genius of God, because it's making a statement. I feel like it's asking a question and it's kind of making a statement, because the way that I can say it, I'm like, I know how much God loves you, but man, do you know how much God loves you? And, you know, they're kind of like, man, God loves me. And so that's, you know, just on a practical level, that's just been something that has worked amazing for me, to just stir a great conversation, asking them a great question, asking them if they know how much God loves them. And man, just the doors that it opened. You'd be surprised when you tell somebody that. I've had people just literally just go into tears and just begin to bawl and, you know, talk to me about their life, and it just give me great opportunities to minister to them. And so asking great questions is a great way to evangelize. And so closing our first point is, evangelism is love. We have to receive his love. If we're trying to evangelism out of a religious spirit, if we're trying to evangelize out of a different way or a judgmental spirit, you know, if we're trying to evangelize out of a judgmental spirit, it just doesn't work, because, you know, they're looking at us like, dude, like, who are you? And to be honest, without the grace of God in our life, we'd be in the same ditch as anybody else. It's only by his grace. It's only by his grace. So we have to evangelize through love. And so I'd like to just share a story with you guys about God's love and being moved with compassion. I was on a job. This was just a few months ago, 2023. I believe it was January. And I was finishing up a job, and I walked to the car, and I thought I heard God spoke as I was finishing up with the customer to talk to this customer about the Lord. And I just kind of like, no, that probably wasn't God. And so I got in the car, and I remember sitting there, and just the compassion just overwhelmed me. And I told the guy sitting next to me, I said, I got to go back in. And so I went back up, I knocked on the door, and I think the guy was a little surprised to see me. I had just left and closed, and I said, hey, man, can I talk to you for a few minutes? And he said, well, sure, yeah, it's fine. And I just began to share, it's good news that God loved him and that he didn't care, you know, where he came from or what he did, that he wanted a relationship with him. And, I've been doing this for quite a while, quite a few years, and almost more than anybody, he seemed more receptive than I'd ever seen. I just was shocked. I could barely get, you know, my deal out. I was trying to talk to him about God, and he was like, yes, please. Yeah. Like he almost wanted me to be quiet so we could receive Christ. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. And, I closed, and we lead him in a prayer. And as he's praying, accepting Jesus, the tears are just flowing down his eyes. It was real. It was sincere. And it was just the easiest thing I'd ever done. And I thought, you know, wow, that was really easy, God. Like, man, somebody, you know, must have did some work on this guy. And I just walked into the harvest. And so we had talked for a few minutes, and I said goodbye. And while I was there, he shared with me at the end that he had been diagnosed with cancer and he didn't have long to live. And so I knew God was up to something. Well, probably wasn't a month later, I get a call from a lady, and she says, Stan, I got to talk to you. And she said, you led someone to the Lord about a month ago, and he went home to be with Jesus, but I got to share a story with you. She said, I was dating that guy. And she said, I witnessed to him for 10 years. And I planted seeds for 10 years to try to lead him to the Lord. And she said, after you left, he called me and he said, well, I did it. She said, you did what? He said, well, I accepted the Lord. She said, what? You did what? She'd been working with this guy for 10 years. She said, you did what? You accepted the Lord? What do you mean? He said, yeah. She said, how? He said, well, the plumber came over and, you know, he led me to the Lord and I accepted Jesus. And she said, I was shocked. I could not believe that he accepted the Lord. She said, I just wanted you to know. She said, just what a difference you made. She said, and he just passed away. And she said, It was real. I seen a change in his life, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a part. And, man, just to be a part of the, watching God, it was God's love, right, that drew him. And I felt his love and his compassion for that man. And just what an opportunity. We have to look at it like an opportunity, man, to be involved in what God is doing on the earth. So let's move to our second point, which is evangelism has to be Spirit-led. Evangelism has to be Spirit-led. Even Jesus himself, the Son of God, needed to be led by the Spirit. I mean, you think about that. If anybody could have did it the way that they wanted to do it, it would have been Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And so sometimes we think, well, I mean, led by the Spirit, that sounds kind of good. But, you know, God wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you by his Spirit. And even Jesus, the Son of God, needed to be led by the Spirit. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 12, verse 49. It says, Jesus is speaking. He said, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say. And there's a second part. It says, and how to say it. And so it's not just important as to what we have to say, because we can, you know, there's a lot of things we can learn what to say, but how we say it is also very important. This comes back to the being wise part. You know, a good example of that is if I'm talking to my son and I say, hey, buddy, hey, Dan, will you do me a favor, bud? Will you go shut that light off? Thanks. I really appreciate it, Dan. And he goes over and shuts that light off. You know, and then there's another way I can say, I say, Dan, go over and shut that light off right now. You know, and he's, whoa, Dad must be mad at me. And he goes over and shuts. See, I said the same thing. I asked him to do the same thing, but I said it in a different way. And sometimes I think we can get like that. And what we need to do is we need to have the heart of the Father. We need to not just know what to say, but we need to know in the right spirit and the right way to say it. And it comes to being led by the Spirit. God wants to lead us by his Spirit. It is so important to be Spirit-led. There's so many hurting people who have been hurt by religion or hurt by the church, or they have family who were heavily involved in the church and they got hurt by them. And if we just go just saying all kinds of crazy stuff and we don't care how we say it, we're just spitting it out there, we can actually do damage to them. We can do damage and we can push them farther away from the kingdom of God. We can take them from maybe a negative 5 to like a negative 7. And that's not the heart of God. He wants to lead and guide us in what to say, and also in how to say it. And you say, well, you know, Spirit-led. I mean, that sounds kind of spooky, Dan. I don't know about being Spirit-led. And all it is, when we've received Jesus, it's just God communicating to our spirit. He comes and moves on the inside of us and lives in us, and he wants to communicate with us and tell us what to say. So I love this illustration. And if you guys are familiar with a guy by the name of Scott Hayes, which I know you are. I got this illustration from him. It's good to have a plan, but it's better to have a guide. And when we're talking about evangelism, I think it's great to plan. It's great to have our scriptures planned out. It's great to, you know, have everything in a row and like, whoa, what kind of question am I going to ask? Well, I kind of like that question, and I like how I'm going to, you know, kind of plan it out. But what's better is, you know, we get our plan and we go to start talking to somebody, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to us and he says, hey, use that scripture, not this scripture, or use this one and not that one. And it's just so much better. It's great to have a plan. I don't want to diminish a plan. We need a plan. Plans are good, but we shouldn't make the plan everything to us. And we should be sensitive to the Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, do it this way, do it that way, don't say this, say that, we need to be sensitive to that. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Daddy God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And God's Spirit will come on the inside of you, and he'll bear witness with you, and he'll speak to you. And he'll help you in every area of your life, but especially he'll help you in evangelism also. So you may ask, how do I identify God speaking to me? And, I think that can take some time to identify God. And there's a lot of ways that God can speak to us. He can speak to us in dreams. He can speak to us primarily, I think he speaks to us through his word. But there's also situations where in situations where God will just speak right to your spirit, man. He'll just give you a download and speak right to you. And I guess one of the most practical ways that I've ever heard it described, I want to share with you guys today. And I want to make a statement, and then I want to explain it a little bit. And the statement is, our thoughts are generally horizontal. God speaking feels like vertical. So if you picture horizontal, God speaking is like vertical. And so just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. So when I'm at work, my thoughts go like this. They're very horizontal. They go, right, jobs, phone calls, emails, receipts, payment, right? And I just keep going through that process. Like, I'm on a move. Sometimes I'm running. I'm doing emails. I'm sending out receipts. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. And it's very horizontal looking. And I'm going throughout my day. And how I know, and the most practical way I can describe it, is that's what I'm doing. I'm going through my day, and all of a sudden, jobs. And I'm going receipts. And then all of a sudden, God speaks, and it goes more like this. Love. Healing. Hope. Prayer. Forgiveness. And I'm going like this. See, I'm going horizontal. And all of a sudden, I get this thought of love, of compassion. And I know that's God speaking to me. And it's the best practical way that I've ever heard. And it's helped me to be able to identify, man, that's the voice of God. You know, the enemy, we do have an enemy. He's not going to tell me to go love on this guy. That's the last thing in the world he wants. And I know it's God. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Above all, who could know? I know that ain't me. I ain't that good to go love on that guy. That's got to be the Lord. And as a practical way, it's just helped me so much to say, man, I know that's God. I'm going to go speak to that guy. I'm going to go talk to him about God's love. When God speaks, it goes love, healing, hope, prayer, forgiveness. That's how God speaks. And I'd like to take this time to share another story with you guys. All of these stories are actually fairly recent. This is this year. And I show up to this job. And, you know, sometimes I'm a decent sized guy, but sometimes, you know, you see somebody, you're like, ooh, this guy looks a little scary. Like, ooh. And so I see this guy, and I wave to him when I get out of the van. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And he just kind of does one of these. And he just looks at me. And I'm like, oh Lord, this is going to be a tough job. So as we're working, you know, I spend probably an hour there, and I'm trying to break the ice and really get this guy to loosen up, and nothing's really working that well. And we get through the job. We're standing at the end of the road, and we're standing there, and I just finished payment, and God, here it goes, vertical. God dropped into me. Dan, tell him how much I love him. Ask him if he knows how much God loves him. I said, hey man, do you know how much God loves you? And in a moment, I saw that everything just almost melted off of him. And he kind of looked at me like, and he pointed to his chest. He said, me? God loves me? And I just began to share the love of Christ with him. And I said, man, God don't care where you've been. He don't care what you've done. He doesn't care. He don't care. He loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. And I just began to share the gospel with him. And all of a sudden, he stopped me. And he said, hold on just a second. Hold on. And he takes off running. He said, I got to go get Dominic. As he's running to get Dominic. And he opens his front door, and he yells. He's like, Dominic, get out here. So Dominic comes running out, and there are four of us are standing at the road, me and my associate, and these two gentlemen are here. And he said, tell him what you told me. So I start sharing the gospel with him, telling him how much God loves him, how much he cares about him. He died for him and wants a relationship with him. And long story short, they both accepted Jesus right there on the spot. Tears in their eyes. We're all shouting and rejoicing, and just an incredible moment. And all of a sudden, the Dominic guy, he said, you guys aren't going to believe this. He said, I had a dream last night that there was four people. He said, I was standing at the road. We were standing at the road, and there was four people there. And he said, I didn't know what happened, but I knew something significant happened in my life. And it was salvation. It was God. And he was just blown away. He said, this is just, this is the greatest day. This is the craziest thing. And we were just so excited. But see, it was the Spirit of God. It was God's Spirit putting that vertical thought, if you will, as practical as I can. God's Spirit putting a vertical thought down, dropping it down in my soul, moved with compassion through God's love for that guy. That's how much God loved that guy. We need to be led by the Spirit. So ask God to speak to you. Ask him. Say, God, lead me, guide me today, Lord. Help me be your mouthpiece. God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak through you. We need to do it in love, but he wants to speak through you. And when God speaks to you to move or to go, we need to seize that opportunity. We need to not slow down. We need to move. We need to go. When God speaks, we need to seize the opportunity, which is our third point. John Maxwell, one of my favorites, he says, God's gift to you is an opportunity. Your gift to God is what you do with that opportunity. There's so many opportunities out there. I don't care where you work. I don't care if you're a teacher, if you're a doctor or a lawyer or a plumber. I don't care what there's opportunities. There's hurting people everywhere. And when we have the compassionate heart of God, and we get ourselves off of our mind, we can see the hurting people. We can see the broken people, the people that need encouragement, the people that need life, because there's people walking around everywhere without God. Our job is the field. Our job is the field. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. We need to say, God, open my eyes. God, give me a heart for lost people. Give me a heart for lost people, God. Help me seize the opportunities. You know, I believe that everybody has a voice, no matter where you are, no matter how old you are. We need to find our voice. There's people that are dying every day, that are being eternally separated from the Lord because we can't find our voice. And we've got to find our voice. Everybody has to find their voice. There's people that you guys can reach that I can't reach. There's people that you guys can reach that Pastor Scott can't reach. We're all called to reach people. Now, we might have a different part in it. We may be a sower, but some of us are harvesters, but hey, listen, we all have a part in it. Say, God, give me a revelation of what my part can be to bring in souls for the kingdom. We all have a part. And, you know, we can't all be pastors. I know Scott would probably give an amen to that. We can't all be pastors. We can't. We're not all called to be pastors. Some of us are called to bring light into those situations. Some of us are called to bring God into the schools. Some of us are called to bring God into those service call homes. Some of us are called to bring God into the courtroom, God into the government. Thank the Lord. Some of us are called for that stuff. We don't have to change what we do, change why we do it. Pastor Scott Hayes, that's a quote from Scott. We don't have to change what we do. Let's not do that. Like, we don't all have to quit our jobs and become pastors. Let's just change. Let's just wake up in the morning and say, God, give me an opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity today, God, the people, to send them across my path, to minister life to those people, God. Send them across my path. I found my voice quite a while ago, and it honestly wasn't one of my proudest moments. To make a long story short, God spoke to me. I was really busy and I was running behind, and God spoke to me to talk to my neighbor about the Lord. And I didn't do it. Within probably a week, his wife called me and let me know that he had passed away. And I don't say that to condemn you or to make you feel like, hey, well, if I don't, minister, people are going to die and go to hell. I don't say that. I say that to inspire you and say, hey, we get to be a part of this. Come on, let's be a part of what God is doing on the earth. It's such an exciting thing. God wants to love people. He wants to get his family back. Let's be a part of that. Let's seize the opportunities. Let's give that gift back to God, the opportunities. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, and he died for all, so that all those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for their sake. No matter how busy I am, I told God. After that, I said, no matter how busy I am, God, I'll take the time. I'll do it. I'll say yes, because I'd rather lose a job than a soul, God. I'd rather do that. I don't care. You're the one that gave me this business. You're the one that put breath in my lungs you died for me, so the least that I can do is live for you. And I hope that that would encourage you today. And so I want to share a story with you about seizing the opportunities. And there was this time, again, we're talking about evangelism in the workplace. So I'm sharing stories about my workplace. I go into people's homes and I don't try to make opportunities. I only take the ones that God gives me. And I hope that makes sense. I don't try to bully my way. God's not a bully. He's not going to barge his way into your life. But I do believe that he'll show you an open door. He'll open the door. God has to open the door. It's got to be by his Spirit. It's got to be by his love. And he'll open the door for you. And it just becomes so simple for us to walk through it. And so there was this opportunity that I had one day. And I had been coming to this house for quite a while. I knew both of the people that lived there, a husband and wife. And when I got there, she says to me, she says, "Hey, you know, my husband's in that back room. He's not doing well. He's actually fairly sick. And here's your money's right here on the desk, on the kitchen counter. And I have to go to work. So I'll, you know, I won't see you. I'll be gone. If you need anything, Craig's in the bedroom, but he's in pretty rough shape." And so I said, okay, so we're doing the job, and the whole time God, you know, he's kind of mentioning to me that I might need to go in there. And so I remember it was one of those days where I was running behind, and I remember I finished the job, and I had the receipt in my hand. I was standing in the doorway between the kitchen and the living room, and I'm standing there, and part of me was saying, just take the check, leave the receipt, and you got to go, like, just go to the next job. He might, my mind was saying, he, you know, if he's in rough enough shape, he might not want to like have any company back there anyway. He, you know, he might not be expecting anybody. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. I don't know if he's, you know, how he's doing. And God told me, no, go back there, talk to him. And I just had that moment. I said, okay, God, I ain't doing that again. I know that. And so I remember turning the corner. I walked through the living room, and there was a little bedroom off the side of the living room. And I looked at this guy, and he looked like skin stretched over bones, like he was on the verge of death. And the room smelled like death. And I was actually taken back by it, like, wow, this guy, he's almost gone. And I said to myself, I said, this is God. I need to minister to this guy. And so I asked him, I said, Craig, literally, I felt like the Holy Spirit told me, he said, ask him if he died today, if he know to go to heaven. I said, Craig, do you know if you were to die today? Do you know if he'd go to heaven? And he said, no. So I just began to minister to him, tell him about the gospel, that Jesus died for him, that he loved him. And he just started crying, started weeping, and I led him in a prayer. And he loved it. He was so excited about it. He said, Dan, thank you so much. I had people come in here and try to talk to me, and they never told me anything about like this. They never told me how to get to heaven. Thank you so much, Dan. And he said, will you do me a favor? Will you write that prayer down on the back of your receipt? Will you go write it down for me? I want to have it. Please, can I have it? I said, yeah, sure. I'll write it down. So I went to the kitchen, and I wrote the prayer that he prayed down, and I remember handing it to him, and he took it, and he just held it just like this, took a deep breath, and I was, this is, wow, God, this, he definitely wanted this, and this was the Lord. Well, kind of a similar situation as before. It wasn't even a week later. His wife called me and said, hey, Dan, I just wanted to let you know that my husband passed away. But she said, I got to tell you a story. She said, 2 days after you left, he started getting really bad, and I had to take him to the hospital. And she said, we got to the hospital, we were on our way up to the room, and he looked at me with a panic, and he said, I forgot the prayer. You got to go back and get the prayer. I can't believe I forgot it. You got to, she said, he wouldn't let it go. I told him, no, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to spend time with you. I want to be with you. And he said, go get my prayer. I want my, and she said, I had to drive all the way back to the house and grab that prayer that he prayed. He wanted it so bad. And she said, and I remember I brought it up to him, and she said, every nurse that walked into that room, he said, he started preaching the gospel to him, telling him about how much God loved him and showed him that prayer. Hey, if you just pray this prayer, God will receive you. God loves you. And she said the whole last day of his life, he was trying to spread the gospel in the hospital, just encouraging people and telling them about the love of God. Isn't that incredible? It's just God wants to open up. See, but it wasn't anything special that I did. All I did was God opened the door and I stepped through it. That's all I did. It was simple. I listened to the Holy Spirit. God opened the door. It was God who did it. It had nothing to do with me. I was just obedient. And God wants us all to be a part of that. So if you're here today and you've accepted God already and you know about this, I hope that today maybe, you know, inspired you, maybe put a few tools in your belt. And if you're here today and you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, you don't have a relationship with him, I just want to give you an opportunity today. And I'd like to ask you a question. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know that if you were the only one on the face of this planet, that God would have still sent Jesus to die in your place? He doesn't care where you were last night. He doesn't care what drug you're hooked on. He doesn't care. He loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. That's the truth. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that God loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. I'd like to say a prayer with you, and I want you to mean this with all of your heart. The prayer goes like this. Oh, God in heaven, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that God raised you from the dead. Jesus, I receive you. I receive your sacrifice for the cleansing of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I sure hope you guys got something out of this today and you learned a few things and were inspired to go out and evangelize the world. Evangelize, bring life to hurting people. Bring Christ's love. Go have the greatest day of your life. And let's just, you know, take this time during worship to just think about, you know, let God minister to us and speak to our hearts about evangelism and people that are hurting. And let him bring people to your mind, people to your thought that you can evangelize or lift up in prayer. Thank you so much.